Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hey there, you're listening to The Alt in Our Stars. That is the name of the show. My name is Chris Payne. I'm your host and probably the most listened to episode of the show that I've had over the past few months. Actually, definitely the most listened to show. Actually, the first country show I did on The Alt in Our Stars branched out a little bit. We called it Country Music is Changing and Here's How. I had a couple writer friends of mine come on the show, and they taught me a lot about country music and got a lot of really positive response from you guys about that one. So I said, you know what? I want to do another country-themed podcast, but this time I want to have a musician on. So her name is Ashley Monroe. She recently, this year, put out her third studio album. It's called The Blade. It's very, very good. I suggest you check it out. Had her come by the office. She was nice enough to swing by day of the opening day of her U.S. headlining tour before playing Bowery Ballroom here in New York. And this was a fun talk. She had just played a mall in southern New Jersey the day before, which I was actually familiar with. So we'll talk about that. Talk about Nashville. Her husband's a baseball player, and I love baseball, so I asked her about that, of course. Songwriting, being friends with Miranda Lambert, if there's going to be a new Pistolani's album. It sounds like there probably will be. She was pretty positive with that, so something to look forward to. So here it is, Ashley Monroe on the Alt in Our Stars podcast. Enjoy. Let's get started. It's here with Ashley Monroe in the Billboard office in New York. How long have you guys been in town?
We've been in town about 3 hours. We drove in from Philadelphia this morning.
Okay. Where you played Philadelphia last night?
I did an appearance for Lippmann's Jewelry at a mall outside of Philadelphia. It's really complicated.
Well, what's the name of the mall?
Cherry Hill.
Cherry Hill? I know that mall.
Yeah, it was a good mall. It really was. I was singing in the middle of the mall. I felt like Santa Claus.
Santa Claus. Do you know specifically, is it the exact same place where they have Santa Claus come?
It was, because I looked and they were just starting to undo all of the Christmas decorations.
Okay.
Santa's opening act.
Okay. I guess it's like probably a shorter performance.
Yeah, I did 3 songs acoustic for a new Love jewelry line that Platinum Jewelry has out, which is really, really beautiful. And they just draped me in platinum things, and I went out there with my guitar and sang 3 songs and took pictures and went home.
Wow, that's...
I went to the hotel home.
I think a lot of people would be jealous of that performance. Yeah. That's pretty cool.
And the mall has really good acoustics, I noticed.
Because malls have those big ceilings.
Yes. And I was hitting all like the high notes, and I thought, my gosh, people are hearing this all over the mall. I hope I sound okay. Too late.
So the Cherry Hill Mall in Cherry Hill, New Jersey got a great show.
They did.
Have you ever, because that's like, I'm from much like further north in New Jersey, closer to New York City, but I still know that mall because it's like a very, very well-known, very reputable mall.
Yeah, it was a quality mall. Too bad I had on super huge heels, so I was like, I cannot walk around this mall in these, but I should just bought flats. I thought about it. Anyway.
Couldn't walk the mall.
No, I couldn't walk the mall. I went back, ordered room service, and watched the Amy Winehouse documentary.
Oh, how did you like it?
Loved it. It actually inspired me. Yeah. It really inspired me to start writing more by myself.
So push the collaborators aside. Is that's what you're saying? Like writing on your own, you said, by yourself.
Oh, yeah. I just want to start doing it more. So many times, like, we, as a songwriter, like, I'll think, oh, this would be, I'll start something and go, oh, this would be great for so-and-so to help me write. But it's almost like you get, not lazy, but kind of. You don't force yourself to write, to finish it, you know?
Yeah. As far as the new album, The Blade, how many songs are just you?
None of them. Me. I don't think I've ever released a song that was just me. I've written some, but I normally have the ideas. It's in Nashville, you're so spoiled. You have so many people that are like, hey, you want to help me write this song? I've got this great idea, and you kind of want to share it.
Yeah, and I bet they come to you a lot of the time. You don't even really have to do too much work, probably.
I'll shoot some text. I did get two of my favorites, Gordy Sampson and Shane McNally, to come in on a Saturday because I had this idea for a song, and I was like, guys, I really think that this would be a big song. Let's just work on a Saturday. Mm-hmm. And they did, so that was good.
Cool. Shane worked on the Sam Hunt album, right?
Yeah, I don't really know what his role was. I think he wrote a lot of the songs, and he might have produced some. I don't know. I think he did.
Okay, because I love the sound of that album.
Shane McAnally is a force. He really is. You know, he works with Casey as well, Brandy. He's an amazing, amazing writer. It's you can tell when Shane writes a song. Like, oh, that's a Shane melody.
Mm. So when you start writing, when you just yourself, when you start writing these songs, if they happen, how would they be different? What would they sound like?
I don't know. I was listening to some of my voice memos this morning of some ideas that I've had, and I can already tell the ones I want to write by myself. I don't know. It's kind of mountainy, and I don't know how to explain it. It sounds like me, not influenced by anybody else.
Okay.
It's hard to explain.
And when you say mountainy, take me through what you mean by that.
Minors.
Okay.
I always think of like minor chords when I think of the mountains, but it makes me happy. Okay. I love minor chords.
Okay. At first, I thought you meant like minors, like mountain.
Oh, minor. No, minor.
Sense too?
Yeah, it does. Yeah. There's definitely minors in the mountains.
Homophones.
Yeah.
That's what that is, right?
Yeah.
Homophone. So, minor chord songs is what we would have.
And minors probably listen to minor chords because it's probably really depressing, and I know it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so, wow, it was, we really went far away from Southern Pennsylvania fancy mall there.
Now we're in the coal mines.
Yeah. So take us back. We're in New York now, so just tell me about your experiences like playing live in New York. What kind of vibe you normally get here?
Every time I've played New York, whether it was with the Pistol Annies or by myself, I've been amazed at how many bands like show up and really care about the music. You wouldn't think like, oh, New York, they're not going to like country music, but some of the best country fans that I've ever experienced have been in New York. Pistol Annies did our first show ever up here at Terminal 5. I think that was like 3 years ago. But we were in awe. We were just like, oh my gosh, they know every song on the record. And it's the same with my solo stuff as well.
So it seems like you had like preconceived notions that New York wouldn't like it as much.
I probably just prepared for the worst somewhere because I just know that there's so many people up here and there's so much music and like, oh, why would they like me? Kind of downplay it.
So do you think back in Nashville, did lots of people expect like, oh, New York, they're not going to get it. They're not going to like it as much. Do you think a lot of people have that thinking?
Not really. Probably just me. No, I don't think that anymore. I remember the first time I played up here, I was like cautiously optimistic, but after the first time, I've only had good experiences. I don't know, I've written with some people from New York, and you know, it's really not that different than Nashville. It's a close-knit community, and all kinds of music is made here.
Yeah. Have you played Bowery, because you're playing Bowery Ballroom tomorrow night?
Yes.
Have you played there before?
I've not played the Bowery Ballroom. I've heard all about it, and I've seen pictures, and I'm really, really excited to.
Yeah, a couple years ago, I saw KC and Brandi Clark perform there, and
awesome.
It went over really well.
Yeah. I've seen, I check Twitter to see, like, oh, who's coming. And I've seen people that are excited. So it's good to know that people are coming to see me and, you know, not raise their hands up in the air. And I don't really have that many fast songs, so they're probably just going to know all my songs and be there to see me so I can just let loose and be me.
Do you remember, like, the first place you played in New York?
Maybe Joe's. I think that was my first place. I did two shows in one night. Yeah, I sure did. That was acoustic. I think that was maybe me and two other players. And it was really amazing, too. That was a full house, and everyone was listening.
Yeah. Is that Joe's Pub?
Yeah, Joe's Pub.
Never been there.
Yeah, it's really cool. It's a good listening room.
Cool. And when was this? Was this promoting, like, the first album way back, like, 10 years ago? Like, what was the time frame with this?
I think this was around the Like a Rose time frame. Which I can't really remember what year. Was that 2011? 2013. My gosh. See, I really don't pay attention to the years.
So that wasn't that long ago.
You
have not played NERC that many times.
Yeah. It's been a while.
Yeah. Well, I'm excited for this show. I think, like I said, I've seen a country show there before that went over really well. I think it'll be a good crowd.
Yeah, I think so too.
Yeah, yeah. So you're out promoting the Blade album.
Yes.
And I'm interested to talk about what it's like promoting music now for you, because you fought so long just to get one album out there, and now you have two in the space of like 3 years. So what's that like?
I'm always excited to release new music just because it's where I am right now. It's kind of like a journal of where I am in my life, and I don't really get nervous when I release new music either. You know, people will say, did you care what the, you know, critics thought of the Blade after receiving so much, you know, so many good reviews for Like a Rose? And it was like, you know what, I overthink everything in life, and I cannot overthink music. You know, that's my safe place. So if it feels good, and if I mean it, and I'm being genuine, and I like it, that's all I can do, and I can hope for the best from the public.
Yeah. So, like, how far are you into the tour so far?
It starts tomorrow.
Oh, this is the first.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Because I was saying with the mall show, it seemed like there would. I just assumed that there was traveling and performing before.
There's been a lot of traveling and performing. I've been on the road with Little Big Town, some with Roscoe Flatts, Miranda, some solo things. But this is like the beginning of the official tour.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wait, was all of that just recently, all of what you just said? Or is that just over?
That was this year, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. So what, did you record the album at all on the road?
No. We worked on that a lot last year at Vince's house, and we probably finished it up, I would say, late last year. The Blade was actually the last song I recorded, which is the title of the record, ironically. So we did it at Vince's house, and he has a studio in his house. So
okay.
I like to record there.
Okay. Have you recorded there before?
Yep, we recorded Like a Rose there, and it's just super cozy, and you get to go in his kitchen and eat, and Amy Grant will pop in every now and then. It's just like, oh, I love it here.
So you like the homey vibe when you're making an album?
I do. Even if, like, any time I've recorded, I like to kind of make it vibey or be in a, you know, turn the lights down and make it like you're just hanging out. No pressure. Just sing perfectly.
And you live in Nashville still, right?
Yes, I live in Nashville. I'm from Knoxville, but live in Nashville.
So how far are you from Vince's place? Just like hopping over?
Yeah, it's like 10 minutes, I guess. Oh, yeah.
So that's a nice little setup, just a quick drive.
Heck yeah.
Place to hang out, relax, get some food, make some music.
Yeah, and then go drive home.
Yeah.
Yeah, it really is. I've went over there, you know, in moments of despair, just needing like some help, I'd drive over there and show up at their door like, oh, I'm sad, whatever.
You and an acoustic
guitar. They're good friends to have. Yeah, sing to me, please.
Yeah, so thinking about Like a Rose, I feel like a lot of the lyrics on that album, like especially on the title track, were kind of like telling your backstory and just telling about yourself. And now it seems like on the new album, it's more just like feelings now.
Yeah.
You think so?
Feelings now. I buried your love alive. Now that's from the past. I don't know. I feel like there's kind of a mixture of both on the new album. But it definitely does showcase where I am right now. I'm such a sucker for sad songs. It's so hard for me to just sing a happy song. But at least they both have some of those on them.
Why do you think you mostly write sad songs?
Because that's the feelings I store, you see, inside. And then when I'm happy, I'm just happy. And I don't really feel inspired to talk about it.
Huh.
Just enjoy it and hold on to it.
So the songwriting process is that release for you then?
It definitely is that release. I started writing right after my dad died when I was 13. So it was pretty instant that connection happened. Mm. Yeah.
And that was like when you, around the time you first moved to Nashville, right?
I moved to Nashville with my mom when I was 15. So I stayed in Knoxville for, you know, a year and a half after my dad passed. And then I was like, we got to go. So then when I moved to Nashville, I was writing every day with anyone who would and everyone who would.
Yeah. Yeah. And like I've heard you say before, you didn't know what the exact process was. This is how you become a songwriter. You were just sort of doing whatever felt right.
Yeah. I really had no idea, you know, how do you sit in a room with somebody else? Because at that time I'd only written by myself and I was like, oh my gosh, what if I say something stupid? And I had to learn early on that you have to say stupid things to get it out. And then you'll say something brilliant, hopefully. But yeah, I realized that I could really hold my own kind of early on too. I was just like, you know what? I'm not intimidated by these like big hit men songwriters. I'm just, you know, I can write with you guys. And I would always show up prepared when I wrote. Like I would never come in without at least three ideas that I thought were really good. And like music started forming and everything. I still do that.
So yeah, we should take people a little bit into this process of what it's like being in the songwriting room or whatever you call it.
Yeah.
So you're like sort of doing homework and coming with your best ideas beforehand, working on your own and bringing those.
I always do. And you know, sometimes I can have a bunch of ideas and then somebody else starts playing something and we end up writing that, you know. But I always like to just play my ideas and see if any of them catch on. I don't know. I have so many voice memos on my phone. On my phone of ideas and a list of titles, so I like to be prepared.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you mentioned the voice memos before.
Yeah.
And you mentioned, like, wanting to get the bad ideas out.
Yeah.
What are, like, the wackiest ideas for titles you have in the voice memos?
Oh, my gosh, I don't know. I probably deleted them. I went through them on the plane the other day. They're like, no, what were you thinking? What were you drinking? I don't know. It's hard to tell because sometimes like things, I've noticed Guy Clark is a guy that he'll say a line that at first you think that is so bizarre, that is so wild. And, like, of course we're not going to use that. And then he'll write it down. And you're like, oh my gosh, Guy Clark's writing it down. And then the whole song makes sense when it comes to that line. So nothing's ever really dumb. There's a fine line between stupid and brilliant. And that's really the truth.
Well, here, we should drop in some music. Let's put a little bit of onto something good.
Yeah.
So that one's from the new album. Oh, wanted to ask about Monroe Swig. That's my favorite song of yours.
Hey, thank you.
That song's neat. Is it this persona you're singing from in Monroe Swig, this kind of like outlaw vibe? How much of this is true? Where is this coming from?
Well, like my mom didn't play piano in a Pentecostal church or anything. I think it's like it's like the wilder side of me or the gypsy side of me. Like, if I were a little bit more rough and had been arrested or something, that would be Monroe Swade.
So no arrests?
No, not that I remember. No. No, I've not been arrested yet. Yet. Oh, my gosh. I can't believe I said that.
Didn't have one foot in the grave.
I've had one foot in the grave. Yeah. Hell yeah. I've had plenty of times. I probably had 1.5 feet in the grave.
When was that?
Oh, over a plethora of years. That's a whole nother... recording.
That's a whole other conversation.
But I love that one. I'm going to do that one in my shows just because I love singing it. A lot of times people are like, what is it about? And it's like, I don't even necessarily know. It just came out. And I like it.
Yeah. And you were mentioning not having a ton of fast songs. That one would go over really well live.
I've got that one situated perfectly between my ballads.
Okay. On this tour, is this a new set list you're playing?
It is. I wanted to do a mixture of... I figured if people were showing up, they probably knew Like a Rose album and maybe knew Satisfied. So I just thought, yeah, I just want to play my favorites from all those and hope they like it. Mm. I'll find out.
And do you perform like songs that you wrote for other people, but like that other people recorded?
I've performed Heart Like Mine that I wrote with Miranda before, or a lot actually. I performed that one. And some Pistol Annie's ones sometimes. I wrote a song for Jason Aldean called The Truth, but I don't do that one much anymore. It's another ballad.
Yeah.
It's a hit. Mm. But
hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
His hit.
So fast songs, I feel like that's what you're going for now. Got to space up the set with some bangers to keep
it
going.
Oh yeah, I've got some bangers.
Well, maybe maybe those will be the Ashley Monroe songs that you do on your own. Maybe they'd be fast songs, but you said they were gonna be minor, so probably not.
No, they won't be. I promise you, if I wrote songs of myself, it will be the slowest, most depressing thing ever. But it'll be pretty melody. It won't be fast.
Let's put a little bit of Monroe Suede so people know what we're talking about here.
Yeah. Did what I did to get by. Third grade education won't bring you no love when you're looking for a way to get paid. Turned 14 and stole a pickup truck. Couldn't make it on minimum wage. Couldn't make it on minimum wage. Well, I almost got caught in Tulsa Town. They had me one foot in the grave. Oh, they're gonna die trying to track me down, but they'll never catch Monroe Suede.
Cool. Wanted to ask about weed.
Yeah.
Weed instead of roses.
Yes.
Is it in Nashville, how do you think taboo is it now to sing about weed, if at all? Like, what's the attitude on that?
I don't really think it's taboo as much as it used to be taboo. I wrote that song when I was 19, so that's 10 years ago. I had an idea going into a writing appointment with Sally Barris and John McElroy. And I was like, guys, this is so corny and silly, but I got tickled on the way here because this idea came to me. And they're like, let's write it. Let's just make it raunch, you know? So we did. And the person out that would have cut it was Gretchen Wilson. And I was like, oh my gosh, we should pitch this to Gretchen. You know, she'd kill this. And I guess she passed because you know, I ended up cutting it. I never got a royalty check or anything. But I just had put that on a comp and Vince heard it and said, if you don't cut that song, I'm not producing your record. So I was like, okay, here we go. I'm glad I did.
Yeah, it's really interesting hearing about this mindset where you're thinking, you're writing a song, but thinking, whose persona does this fit? Or yeah. Is it mine?
Well, it ended up being mine, turns out, later in life. It ended up fitting into my life, but at the time it was kind of like, and then funny. Not that I didn't like weed back then, but I wasn't married or anything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's interesting. Like, I guess do you feel like you have a persona that's like a definite thing that people wouldn't know, like, oh, this fits for an Ashley song?
I don't know if I do or not, actually. Sometimes I'll hear, like, if I've written a song and it's been on Nashville, I'll see people tweet, like, did Ashley Monroe write this song? And they're right, like, I did. That happened the other day. I didn't even know that my song was going to be on the show, actually. And I saw somebody tweet, like, did Ashmore write this song, No Sense at All? And I was like, yes, I did. How did you know? But he said it sounds like an Ashmore melody. So maybe I do have something that people recognize.
Hmm.
I don't know.
So it sounds like it's in the melody, or at least for this one person it was.
Yeah, I think it is probably in the melody. I don't know what it is, though. Huh. Like I said, I can't overanalyze music. People try to ask me to, you know, kind of explain, what kind of music do you sing? It's like, it's so hard for me to, when it's obviously country, but it's just what I feel.
Hmm. Feelings country.
Feelings country. Country. Emotional country.
Wanted to ask about Brendan and the Raconteurs, too.
Yeah. I saw a tweet that Ricky Skaggs had tweeted, like a throwback picture of that day. Raconteurs, I've always loved them, and Brendan Benson is one of my best friends in the world now. I mean, I'm so thankful that we met. That's one of my musical soulmates for sure. After we did that collaboration, it was so much fun. We were there to like midnight, you know, just jamming. And Brendan and I started writing. We started a song, I feel like, that day on the set. And then we started writing every day at 3 o'clock at his house for months and months and months after we shot that video. And that was 2008. So, and then we have a song together now on The Blade called Mayflower, which was one of my favorites.
Mm-hmm.
But I still want to do a collaboration record with Brendan for sure.
Hmm. And that's old enough. We're talking about for the record.
Old enough, yeah. Okay. Jack White had emailed me. He had heard me on the Opry. He was listening to 6:50 a.m. and he had emailed me saying that, you know, he loved my voice and he had been thinking about something that we could all work on together. And Raconteurs is doing a bluegrass version of Old Enough. Will you come and sing on it? And we're rehearsing at, you know, my house the night before. I was like, yep. I'll do it. Absolutely.
There you go.
Yep.
Have you kept up with Jack?
Yes, I always
really
keep up with Jack. Yeah. He's my buddy.
Okay.
He's a good guy. He recently I did like a thing recorded straight to acetate at Jack White's Third Man there in Nashville. It was like a private party or something. I walked in and he had like all of his staff there and him and Brendan came and it was really awesome. It was really nerve-wracking because it was live to acetate, and it was really nerve-wracking. But I got through it, I think. I haven't listened.
So then that's one, because I know he does a series like that. So that's when you go to Third Man Records mm-hmm. in Nashville, you play a few songs, and he presses a record right there.
Yep, right. I didn't realize how much pressure it was until that day, like right before I went on. I was like, there's no room for error. They're like, just do it like a normal show. And after like the first song, since there was a crowd, you know, I kind of forgot they were recording.
Yeah, well, that's their thing. Like, I interviewed his other band, the Dead Weather ones,
yeah.
And they were telling me like, oh, we love mistakes. We want to have mistakes on our
yeah.
albums.
And I sang on the Wanda Jackson record that he produced, and yeah, Jack's not one to nitpick on perfection. It's more of like the feeling he's trying to capture, which I love. I love recording that way. It's a lot live.
Hmm. So is that something you've done a lot besides Jack, or was that performance at Third Man sort of brought you into it?
No, that was the only time I recorded like live to acetate, but my records, I really try to do at least the bass if I'm live. I end up using my vocals that I'm tracking when the band's laying down, you know, their track. Because I feel like there's an energy you capture there where, you know, if I'm really into the song and I start singing softer, the band kind of comes down with me. Or if they get louder, I'm getting louder. We kind of follow each other when it's recorded live. And it's really hard to capture that when it's all recorded individually. So I love to do my records like that. We all, you know, the band sits around a circle and I'm behind a door. I can see them and it feels like you're just jamming.
Yeah. And you haven't listened to the Third Man recording.
You know what? They came in and played me. We did like a test run.
So
just
it wasn't
to see
really...
if it worked. No, not of a show of one song
okay.
to make sure any levels didn't need to be adjusted. Like, I wasn't too loud or my guitar wasn't too loud. So we did one test song, like, earlier in the day to just make sure all the levels were right. And I listened to that, and it sounded awesome. We did The Blade. And I was like, okay, I think, you know, they're like, anything you want adjusted? I'm like, no, I'm ready.
Mm. I feel like if you wanted something adjusted, they would have maybe given you like that evil eye, like, oh, you want the mistakes.
No.
Don't
mess
with
the studio.
I just
meant like sound, making sure you could hear my voice and stuff. That's all.
So, yeah, that's really interesting because, like, I mostly cover rock and alternative music for Billboard, and in recent years, I'm just seeing more and more of, like, this rock presence in Nashville, too.
Yeah, there really are so many rock and rollers there. There's so many amazing, like, kinds of artists in Nashville. It's not just country. You know, people kind of get the hillbilly thing going when they think of Nashville, but it's like, all right, yeah, there's great bluegrass, there's great country, there's great rock and roll, there's great blues. I don't know. It's kind of everything, and more people are coming.
Yeah. And it seems like what holds it together is its guitar music.
Yeah, maybe. I don't know. Mine's not guitar music.
Yeah.
It's kind of a family, though. Once you're in Nashville and you kind of know everybody, you kind of know, oh, yeah, that's so-and-so. I don't know. It just feels like one big community. So it makes it easy to collaborate when you want to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 10 minutes away, Vince's studio.
I know, right?
And I've also talked to other music writers who tell me that East Nashville is becoming like this big other thing now.
Yeah, East Nashville, I don't go over there much, mainly because I just don't like to drive that far. I really don't. There's no easy way to get to East Nashville from where I live. But I hear it's really hip and cool, and they have really great restaurants, and I know it has its own music scene. I literally couldn't tell you anything else about it. It's like another state to me.
Really?
Yeah, I just don't go over there.
Because I'm not really familiar with the lay of the land. Is it like highways aren't really laid down to connect it well? Is that?
If you go on the highway from where I live, I have to cut over like 5 lanes, hurry up and get off the exit, so I don't go that way. So I could go downtown. Yeah, there's an easy way to get there. It's just, I don't know. It's just not my. It's just
another
not me.
World.
It's just, yeah, but I've got great friends that live over there. Most of my band lives over there, and there's great, great musicians on that side of the town too.
Yeah.
On that side of town.
The other
it
side
sounds
of the,
so far away, doesn't it?
The other side of the tracks.
Yeah.
And what about the Pistolanis? Is there more music coming from them?
I think definitely there's going to be more music. I just don't know when. We've started several songs, and we have so many that we haven't even recorded yet. I think next year we're going to be doing something. I just don't know what. That's the thing with us, is that it's kind of when it feels right and when the timing works out and we're all not super busy, we just come back together.
Schedules,
careers. But we love each other very much.
Lives, all that stuff.
Yep. Lives take up a lot of time.
Oh, so I'm a big baseball fan, huge MLB fan. So want to ask about John, about the White Sox.
He's coming up tomorrow. Yeah, when I first met John, I did not know anything about baseball, except that when I was younger and I'd be trying to watch Saved by the Bell on WGN, the game, like White Sox games or Cubs games, would be in extra innings. And I'd be so upset with baseball. Like, why does anyone care? And then now I have MLB app on my phone, and I'm like I put vibes into it. Like, I watch his games with my hand out. It's bizarre. So love makes you do crazy things, I guess. But he's been with White Sox longer than any other player now on the White Sox.
Yeah, I was going to say that because I was looking the other day. He's been there like 8 or 9 years.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And players typically move around more than that. So there's been some stability.
Yeah, there has. And I love Chicago, and especially in the summertime. We get out right before it gets brutally cold. But yeah, it's been interesting to watch him and how different and alike, like the similarities in baseball and the music world. You know, you travel a lot and it's a lot of pressure. But the thing about music fans is if I hit a bad note or if I trip or if I forget words, they're not going to boo me, you know? If you miss a pitch, like, they hate you. I couldn't take it. My feelings would be so hurt all the time.
And Chicago's a big baseball town.
Yes. It's either White Sox or Cubs, which I didn't know that either till I moved there.
Yeah. I mean, maybe with some tripping on the mound, you get away with it. Maybe Phoenix or something. But in Chicago, you're not going to get away with that.
Yeah. No, you're not.
So you were saying you have some sort of vibes with your hands. You stretch your hands out when he's pitching.
I do different things. Oh, my gosh. I can't even tell you all the things I do because I'm kind of, like, superstitious about baseball. I never thought that would happen. Like, yeah, like when he's on the mound, if I'm watching on TV or on my phone, I'll, like, send good vibes, like put my hand out. And then if it doesn't work, I'll be like, forget it. I'm not even going to watch. I've tried that before. Every game I don't watch, he, like, does really well. But I'm so nosy. I want to see how he's doing. It's really hard.
And he's a pitcher, so what is it like on the days he pitches? Is he superstitious? Do you guys talk a lot?
We do not talk a lot on days John pitches. It's like minimal conversation, which is totally fine. But I learned that early on. Like, he didn't say shut up, but I just noticed he wasn't talking a lot. So I thought, oh, yeah. And I know on show days, like, I don't want to sit backstage and chit-chat for, you know, 5 hours. I just want to be in the zone. And I'm sure he has some... He puts a cross behind, he draws a cross behind the mound every game. I don't know what else his things are. But there's a trash can they have when you go in the dugout, and I know he's kicked that a bunch of times. And a lot of the pitchers do. A lot of the, everybody on the team does. I'm always like, they should just move that trash can and put a punching bag so y'all can get it out. But I see how it can be frustrating.
So this White Sox trash can, or this kicking tradition, is this like out of like a little tap before the game, or like, oh, no,
it's
fuck,
like out
I'm
of
angry.
Rage, yeah, okay. Angry, anger, anger, anger.
Yeah. So, how much is he on like a contract now? Is he like there much longer for the White Sox?
I think he has this next show will be his last year on the contract.
Okay.
I just asked him that recently, though, because I truly can't keep up with all of it, which he probably likes. You know, like, I know just enough about baseball, and he knows just enough about music where we can respect what each other does, and but we don't ask a bunch of questions because we really don't know what to ask.
Huh.
Are you happy? Are you good? Love you. You know.
So he's not a big music person.
No, he loves music. He just doesn't know about the business side of it. Like, you know, he doesn't know, like, all the details. He's learning. The more I vent, the more he learns. If he's listening, he might not be. That's all right.
Well, maybe that's for the best, because you probably deal with just music business kind of stuff a lot.
Yeah, yeah. I don't want to go home and talk. Yeah.
Talk shop.
Really. Normally, I just vent, and he'll be like, it's okay. And he's really cool. Like, John's real chill. So if I get fired up about something, he's just like, oh, all right, let's cook some steaks. And he just kind of brings me back down. Like, oh, I love steaks. Yeah. You know, just calms
steaks.
Me down. Steaks bring us together. Grilling.
Cool. Well, hopefully the tour goes well. It's like, wow. How much do you have coming up? How long is it?
It'll be 8 dates total, I think.
Okay.
But they're spread out, you know, over November. We're almost in November.
Basically. Yeah.
And then I think my last show's maybe December 5th, and that'll be with Little Big Town in Vegas.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Then I'm going to eat some Christmas cookies for 3 weeks.
Back home for the holidays.
Yeah.
Some Christmas steaks,
oh,
maybe.
Oh, Christmas steaks. Oh, my gosh. I can't imagine how good.
So it sounds like busy times for the next... Because you were mentioning all these projects. You want to do something with Brendan, maybe Pistol Annie's, maybe your own music. So lots of things could be happening.
Yeah, and I want to write. Yeah, but I'll have some time over these next few months to just kind of... step back and reevaluate what my goals are. I'm 29, so I think about to turn 30 is like, all right, let's reevaluate everything, which is good. It feels like a positive thing.
Positive
I may be
thing.
Singing rap this time next year. I may have released a rap album. You never know.
Slinging the hooks.
Wouldn't that be something? We'll see.
I mean, that's a whole nother like songwriting game with like doing a hook and sending it out there for rappers who want to rap around.
Yeah, like Dido had that thank you that Eminem wrote around it.
Oh, yeah.
I got to get Eminem some melodies. I think he'd love them. Nate Roos, that melody.
Nate's got some melodies.
I know. Oh, I love Nate Roos. His voice just keeps on getting higher and it never breaks. Sometimes when I'm listening to Fun or his record in my car, I'll be like, all right, I'm going to sing full voice and see if I can hit this, what he's about to hit. And I never can. And my voice is high. So Nate wins the battle every time.
Wow, Nate.
I know.
Killing it.
I know.
What else was like? Oh, and Nelly does a lot of collaborations with country artists.
I saw
Nelly
at one of the award shows not too long ago. I was like, oh my gosh. Nelly sitting behind me at the, I think it was CMT Music Awards or something. I loved Country Grammar. Mm. Went to the mall to get the CD the day it came out.
Back to malls.
I know. When you could buy music at malls.
Those were the, man, those were the days. So nostalgic.
I know. I miss Blockbuster too. I was thinking about the other day. I really miss going to rent movies. And then you could get like nerd rope and popcorn on your way out.
Mm-hmm. All by the register.
Yes, like way overpriced, yeah. But it's worth
it. Man, and just like all the new releases. I remember when, really distinctly, like when Titanic came out.
Oh.
When certain Blockbusters, they would just have an entire wall.
Oh, yeah. They would do that for the huge movies.
So absurd.
Daddy knew to buy me Titanic on the day it came out. He went to Circuit City. They must have had the biggest sale. So Daddy went to Circuit City. Brought me home Titanic.
I wonder what happened to all those DVDs. Or they were VHS then.
Yeah. I think I still have all my VHSs in storage. I better get a VHS player. Quick.
Maybe it'll be like the new vinyl.
Maybe it will. I wish it would be. I miss rewinding. We get everything so quickly these days.
The analog film comeback revival.
They lasted longer. They didn't scratch as easily as DVDs.
Oh. There you go.
Yeah.
Well, we're back in the mall. I think that's a good note to end on, unless there's anything else you wanted to put out there.
Oh, I don't know.
Looking over at publicity.
I don't know. What do I want to say, guys? No, I'm really excited about this tour. I'm happy I'm going to be singing for people that are there to hear my music and to write and all that stuff. I'm in New York, which makes my heart go like 20 times faster than it normally would. So just be super hyped up here in New York.
You got this. You got this. Like I said, I've seen great country shows, or I saw one really good country show. It was just one, but it went really well. So there you go. There's a track record at Bowery Ballroom.
Awesome. I'll do it justice.
Cool. Thanks so much for coming by.
Thank you for having
me. That was fun. So that concludes another episode of the Alt in Our Stars. I love to get your feedback, so if you have anything to say at all, positive, negative, whatever, you can email me. My email address is chris.payne, that's chris.payne, at billboard.com. Or hit me up on Twitter, it's at CPAYNEONAPLANE. And if you want to hop on iTunes and give us a star rating, that's super, super helpful for the podcast. And if you want to subscribe, too, you totally should. that also helps a lot. You can head to, if you're viewing this on billboard.com, look at the last paragraph. There's an iTunes link in there where you can subscribe, or anywhere else, just search for Alt in Our Stars in iTunes in the podcast section. And also, you can listen to archived old episodes from the very beginning there. Some recent ones we've had. Let's see, we've had Butch Vig, Nirvana, Foo Fighters producer on the podcast. We've had a punk band from Philly called Beach Slang. A rock band from Nashville called Bully. Lots of fun stuff you can check out there. And the archive is on iTunes. So, yeah, new episode runs every Friday afternoon on billboard.com. So until the next Alt in Our Stars, have a good weekend. Peace out, everybody.
Cool. Awesome.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight. and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.